a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. This hour of the program brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit WasatchMedical.com for a free offer. Joining us right now, again, Mitch Harper, nice enough to stay along with us for a second round here because we shifted right over to basketball. And Scott might protest, but, and he's like, where's all the Utah stories? First of all, no spring practices for Utah yet. And then I challenge you to find an interesting storyline with the basketball team with Utah.
The coach probably is going to get fired. Just saying, that might be interesting.
We talked about that last night, though, and we don't know if he's going to be fired. It's fine. All right, Mitch, thanks for being with us and hanging out. Let's talk the basketball side of things. The Cougs are going to be playing in the WCC tournament. They start things off as the number 2 seed in the semifinals on Monday. A really fun, super exciting 10 p.m. Mountain tip-off time. You know what that means? They wanted to make sure that KSL's Unrivaled is going to get a full show in on Monday before
That's
pregame.
Right.
So a 10 p.m. tip-off. This is what Coach Mark Pope said today about that challenge of this team not practicing on Sundays because that's not what they do, and then having to play a game on Monday.
We're going to try and simulate game day as closely as we can tomorrow and then try and run it back Monday. It's just as... You know, I'm pretty sure that we're the only team in the country that is just choosing to play games where you don't practice or meet the day before. But we're going to make it work, and we're going to actually turn it into advantage. And Monday night, everyone's going to be like, man, those guys are really smart because they were super fresh. I mean, I guess that's what we're searching for.
It's not the first time BYU's played on that Monday game to try to get into that Tuesday final, but it's a challenge, and this is one of the better teams. This is the better. They're certainly seeded as good as they've ever been in the WCC tournament. What are their chances of winning that first game on Monday and getting a shot at Gonzaga on Tuesday?
I think their chances on Monday night are really good. I think they're going to either play Pepperdine, Pacific, or Santa Clara. All of those teams are capable of beating BYU, and we saw Pepperdine beat BYU earlier this year. But I think BYU learned a lot from last year. This coaching staff, at least. You know, last year they lost on that Monday night game to St. Mary's by 1 point. They're going to get to Vegas late Sunday night, you know, due to the pandemic, of course. But then they're going to have an 8:30 a.m. Monday morning. They're going to have a little bit of a practice that time and then have a rest. So they're going to try and do things a little bit different in their approach to get ready for that late Monday night game because it is a challenge. I mean, this tournament, the WCC tournament, I know they do it for TV, but it's probably the worst setup in all of the conference tournaments. How you got the day off and then you got all these just late night games. Like, no one's watching them. It's just, I know they're shilling out for TV, but it's just not a great fan experience how this tournament is laid out. But, you know, BYU's got a shot to win that one. I think they will, and I think they're going to have a chance to play Gonzaga to get that automatic bid and try to get their first conference tournament title in 20 years.
Hey, Mitch, you can't whine in March anymore.
No, he can because he's a Laker fan. Utah, I made this declaration.
Oh, this is a Utah fan.
Because Utah got that extra All-Star there as recompense, I'm assuming, for the bad refereeing against Philadelphia. Jazz fans are not allowed to whine for the next month. I think that's fair. Yes.
So let's just walk through the scenarios for BYU's basketball and how it impacts the NCAA tournament.
A big tourney, yeah.
So if they win the conference, clearly they get an automatic berth. But does that improve their situation? Or if they win and they play Gonzaga, and maybe they play a close game but they lose, does it change? I mean, how much does it fluctuate? And then what if they just lose on Monday and they don't get to the championship?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that, you know, if they beat Gonzaga, I think you're looking at BYU as a six, maybe in the best case scenario, if some teams above them fall, maybe a five seed. I think that's how highly regarded Gonzaga is. You're talking about the number one overall team in the NCAA tournament. That's what we saw from the selection committee a few weeks ago. The Zags are the best. That's the best team that this sport has to offer this year. So if you beat them, you're going to definitely move up. If you lose Monday night, I think you're looking at BYU as a 9 seed, maybe a 10 seed, because these teams like Pepperdine and Santa Clara and Pacific, they're all sub-100 ranked teams in the committee, even though people that watch West Coast Conference basketball, they know these teams are competitive. They're still, those brand names don't register, they don't move the needle at all, and I think BYU will get dropped by that. If they get to the championship, play Gonzaga tough, I think they're going to be about a 7 seed. So there's still kind of a wide range of where BYU can be. I think they're just ultimately, they don't care what seed they're going to get. I think they just want to get a chance to be in the tournament, because ultimately, if you do get in this thing and you want to make a run in it, you're going to have to play some good teams eventually, and if you're in the 8-9 spot, you'll have to do it right out of the gates, and then probably play the number one seed if you can advance to that. So I just think the BYU is just wanting every chance they can to get in the big dance. And they're taking extra precautions, too. I think the biggest obstacle between them and the big dance right now is COVID-19. BYU's been one of the few teams that hasn't had any delays due to the virus. None of their games that have been canceled have been because of BYU. So I think that's something that's making, you know, Mark Pope extra cautious. I mean, everything that they're doing, it's heightened awareness with the virus, because once you get to Indianapolis in the NCAA tournament, you have to have 7 consecutive days with negative tests from all the coaches and players. So that's probably the biggest storyline to honestly watch between now and March Madness.
Let's say that COVID kind of works out in terms of the testing and they take all those precautions. What's this team built like for this NCAA tournament? I mean, what is this one of those that's like, hey, what a great year. You got to the tournament. However it finishes is a great season. Or is it one of those where it's like, they should win a game and maybe even steal the second one?
They have to win at least one game, in my opinion, Alex. You got 3 seniors, 2 of which are grad transfers. Yeah, they could all come back, but as of right now, Matt Harms, he's not coming back, and
right.
Barcelo and Averett, they're not ruling out the possibility, but you got to capitalize with these guys. And I mean, I said it before the season, I thought this team was going to be better than last year's group, and you can make an argument. They're a lot more balanced, that's for sure. They're not as good offensively, but defensively, they're one of the top 25 defenses in college basketball this year. So I think they got to win at least one game, and they're definitely capable of doing that. And I think the way that they've been playing, shooting the 3 ball as of late, has been a real positive sign, because early on in conference play, they were struggling shooting beyond the arc, and that's been a real positive. But I think also, too, they have to be physical. BYU, when they are the aggressor, they're the ones that are attacking at the rim. That's when they usually win. When they're not, and Alex Barcelo is struggling to find his shot, that's when BYU can get blown out in a game. So Barcelo's got to be on. They got to be physical and have those 3-pointers going down, too. And BYU could definitely make a run.
Is Mark Pope, is he a long-term guy at BYU? Or is this a stepping stone opportunity for him to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he is someone that sees that BYU can win big here. I mean, what he's doing the last 2 years, BYU hasn't experienced this type of a success in Shimmer Fredette. I mean, the fact that BYU can be in this, you know, top 25 conversation year after year, that was what they were doing with a National Player of the Year. They're doing this with no guys that are considered NBA talents, no National Player of the Years, and they're still just getting better and better and churning out teams that are going to earn at-large bids in a mid-major conference. I think Mark Pope thinks that he can win big at BYU. Now, I would say that if a Kentucky or a North Carolina or a Texas or some program that's just one of the best brands that college basketball has to offer, I think that's going to be hard for BYU to stack up against that. But why can't Mark Pope be the next Mark Few? I mean, why? I mean, BYU is all in on him. Brian Santiago and Tom Holmoe give him the big fat contract extension after 1 year.
Yep.
You know, he has all the support in the world, and he's got a coaching staff that loves him, and they're willing to continue to work with him. I think he's got all the pieces in place to win and win big at BYU. Unless a Kentucky comes calling, I think Mark Pope's here to stay at BYU.
Yeah, but what about that Larry Kruskoviak money shows up at the University of Utah? Mark Pope will be wearing a red tie pretty soon. I mean, my heavens.
It's an interesting thought for sure, but I think out in the Pac-12, you see, like, no one in college basketball in the Pac-12 conference wins at the level that teams like Gonzaga or even BYU or San Diego State have won. Pac-12 is just kind of an afterthought in college basketball. Why? What can you can achieve everything that Utah basketball is doing at BYU and more. BYU's winning in-state recruiting battles. Mark Pope would be wise just to stay at BYU.
Mitch Harper, he hosts Cougar Sports Saturday tomorrow with Matt Biamonte. Real quick, Mitch, what are we talking about tomorrow on the show from noon to 3?
Tons of spring football breakdowns. We're going to have Cody Epps, BYU football wide receiver, on the show. Also, BYU basketball assistant Cody Feger on the program to preview the West Coast Conference tournament. So it's going to be jam-packed from noon to 3 here on KSL.
Don't want to miss it. Mitch Harper, thanks so much, buddy, for hanging out with us on a Friday night, dude.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take care.
Taking the break. We've got news, traffic, and weather, and we've got so much more to go here on the show. Waiting right around the corner are our MVPs on a Friday night. We've got Weekend What Are the Odds coming up. You don't want to miss any of it. Stay right here with us on KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.